I'd like to just pray a little prayer that I've been trying to pray during these times of preaching on the Holy Spirit. It is a prayer from the Northumbria community. It's called a Celtic Daily Prayer. Please join me. Most powerful Holy Spirit, come down upon us and subdue us. From heaven, where the ordinary is made glorious, and glory seems but ordinary, bathe us with the brilliance of your light, like dew. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to be reading this evening from Acts chapter 2, a well-known but very, I think, meaningful, powerful passage here that speaks about the community of faith early on, the early church, and how the Holy Spirit worked among them, and what happened as a result of the Holy Spirit being among these early Christians. This is what happened, beginning at verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what happens when the presence and power of the Holy Spirit comes in wonderful ways on the church. This particular passage, especially in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You could focus on each one of those very easily in a message, but this evening we're going to focus on that one word, especially that idea of fellowship. And that main idea of fellowship that the Bible talks about here, it's translated koinonia. Maybe you've heard of that word. It's a very deep, interesting, wonderful word for fellowship that goes beyond something that is simply sort of a surface type of fellowship together. It's the kind of fellowship where people are truly building together in a faith community really close relationships. And so I want to talk about that. I think there's a tremendous need for this, and we don't always see it. Sometimes, you know, in life we think as we go through life and we know people, and some people are, in our understanding, very successful in certain types of ways. For instance, professionally, as Dr. Henry Nouwen was, he was formerly a Roman Catholic priest, very, very sharp teacher, leader, professor at Yale University and at Harvard. This man was so brilliant and is so often quoted, has now gone to be with the Lord, but he could have served on any university faculty in the world at his bidding. He was that kind of a person. But as we read about Henry, he was a man who left at one point a very, very prestigious Ivy League professorship and became the executive director of a community called La Arche, a residential community for mentally and physically challenged people. And in the reading that I've done about him, what he found there was the richest community, he says, that he had ever experienced. He tells his story a little bit, and I want to read a little bit of that. After many years of life in universities, where I never felt fully at home, I had become a member of La Arche, a community of men and women with disabilities. I had been received with open arms, given all the attention and affection I could hope for, and offered a safe and loving place to grow spiritually as well as emotionally. Everything seemed ideal, but precisely at that time, I fell apart as if I needed a safe place to hit bottom. A Christian psychologist, Larry Crabb, comments on this commentary of what happened in Henry Nouwen's life. And he wrote, when he gave them, that is, his precious career and all it offered him, up for life with people who were not impressed by such things, perhaps his repressed desire to be loved rather than merely admired overwhelmed him. The taste of love that his new community provided may have awakened deeper longings than he ever knew existed, longings that he feared would never be satisfied. That was Dr. Henry Nouwen, author of numerous, absolutely fascinating books. A man who somehow, despite all having all that the world in professional terms would have said made him successful, still was looking for a deeper sense of community, a deeper sense of fellowship, and God needed to lead him to minister to this group with disabilities. And I had the wonderful privilege, by the way, of meeting him personally when he came to talk with a group of pastors in the north side of Toronto when we were in Canada. And Henry talked about his experiences, and it was truly wonderful to be able to meet him. Well, in the book of Acts, we find the Holy Spirit doing something like that on a much grander scale among many more people in the early church. When we take a look at the book of Acts, we find here God building his New Testament church after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit had come down in unprecedented ways and power and with his presence in a way that never had been experienced before in the history of the world, in the history of God moving among his people. And then the Holy Spirit of Jesus began to build this community. It's the book of Acts, and some have called it the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because when you read through this incredible book of the early church, you find the Holy Spirit so much at work in so many different ways. And one of the wonderful ways that the Holy Spirit is working is by building community among God's people and building fellowship, such that the Bible says here they devoted themselves under the leading of the Holy Spirit, under the presence of the Holy Spirit, because outside of that, people are very unlikely to be doing that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then all of these other things in terms of community began to happen. Wonderful miracles and signs of the presence of Jesus among God's people began to be birthed in the early community. Signs of power, signs and wonders began to happen. But apart from those things that often sort of ooh and ah us, which are wonderful nevertheless, mind you, when they happen, and they do happen, you see the Holy Spirit creating this sense of community where people began to really see the needs of one another. They began to minister to those particular needs. They were people who grew in their understanding of reaching out to others, of growing in generosity together. And all of these types of things, including the meeting together from house to house, the bigger gatherings, as the Bible talks about here in the temple, all of these things, under the impulse, so to speak, of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, were creating a fellowship of people that really loved the Lord. So we know what happens. If you remember the story on Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came down and 3,000 people came to faith in one day in Jesus Christ. So you're sitting there, you're part of this new community, and you have 3,000 people all of a sudden who have expanded the numbers of this new community that God is creating by His Spirit. They are connected through Jesus Christ and their commitment to Him. And then you might back up and you might say, okay, all of that has happened. These people have come to faith. Now what? Now what? I remember Professor Robert Recker when he was still living and was teaching in missions over at Calvin Seminary, talked about that one time when he was in church. And the pastor of this particular church loved to talk about people coming to faith, being born again, coming up for the altar call, etc. And Bob Recker just said, you know, I wanted to stand up sometimes and in front of everybody in the church say, but I am saved. I am saved. Now what? Tell me now what about my walk with Jesus. When we take a look at Acts 2:42 and following, we see the now what. We see something of the beauty of what happens when the Holy Spirit's presence and power truly invades a community, and how lives of young and old are truly changed in wonderful ways. Now, I have read stuff, lots of stuff, over the years on these words. And sometimes there are those who have looked at this passage and they have said, well, you know, that was then and today is today. The Holy Spirit doesn't always work like He did back then, today. And I have always countered, you know what? In my understanding and reading of the Scriptures, this is normal Christianity. This is the gold standard when the Spirit of God is at work. I don't think it's right nor accurate to look at passages like this and think that was the early Christian church. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way today. But He does. He does. And all over the world today, the Holy Spirit is seeking to create not only individuals who are devoted in this way to important things that will grow them personally in their life, but He is seeking communities of faith, like West End Church, for instance, that will also be just as open to His working and become this kind of a community of faith. Now, when we read in Acts chapter 2 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and so forth, that word devoted is interesting because someone could be devoted in sort of a rather superficial kind of way to certain things. It doesn't truly engage them. For instance, I happened to notice yesterday, and we didn't make it up to Spring Lake, that there was this article in the Grand Rapids Press about these wooden boats that were up there. It was one of the numbers of wooden boat shows throughout Michigan in the summer, and I just love to look at those older wooden boats. They are put together with such craftsmanship. It's incredible. I just love to look at them and love to hear them too. Well, we never made it there. You could say I'm devoted to that. Well, I'm not overly devoted. There's a real interest there, and I like to get to them when I can. But this word devoted is not like that. The word that's used here by Luke as he writes this passage and uses the word devoted here means a real intense commitment on the part of somebody. It's the kind of thing that they're going to keep after. They're going to pursue with a real intentionality in their life. They devoted themselves. We're not talking about sort of superficial commitment here to Christ and to the things that are going to build us deeply into the fabric of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit isn't interested in that. The Holy Spirit is interested in creating something within us that there is a deep, growing devotion to these things. And one of those things is Christian fellowship. Now, the fellowship that the Bible talks about here also is not some rather superficial types of fellowship. There are different sort of levels of fellowship, and we all know that. When we're finished here, we could go out and maybe have a cup of coffee after church or the encounter service just met, and they had some fellowship together around the table and some food this evening, and that's wonderful. That's a form of fellowship. You get together, you have a cup of coffee or juice, and you chat, and I did that after church along with many of you this morning. And that's a certain level of fellowship. But if things stay only on that level with one another, things often are not going to go very deep. It's not the kind of fellowship that's going to produce the situation where you're really, really going to get to know somebody. That takes time. That takes a form of intentionality together. And that is the kind of thing that the Bible calls koinonia. That is what the Bible calls here fellowship. They did not devote themselves under the impulse and leading of the Holy Spirit in the early church to superficial fellowship together. Now, this is something that I think not only the Henry Nouwens of life need, but the average person in the church. Over the years, I have talked with people pastorally, just in passing. They've known me. They've sort of shared some things with me because I happen to be the pastor, about how it really is with them in the church. I have been surprised at times to talk with individuals who have been, I would have thought, had a deep sense of being connected to the fabric of a church, when in fact that wasn't the case at all. There was a sense, I'm thinking of one person right now, even as I speak, as she came to me and talked about the fact that though she had been a longtime member of this particular well-established church, felt very lonely there and was not deeply connected in terms of what I would call biblical koinonia and fellowship in the church. The kind of koinonia fellowship that the Bible talks about here doesn't just happen. It is something that is the work of the Holy Spirit, but it is also something that we need to work at as well. Because we know that the Bible teaches the fact that when a person is coming to that point of faith in Jesus Christ, they come to that point of being justified, the Bible says, where the guilt is taken care of and gone, and we were reminded of that this morning in the Lord's Supper. That is totally a work of God. But when it comes to this process of sanctification, then we are invited by God very graciously to work with the Holy Spirit in terms of that whole process. And part of that sanctification process, friends, is the process of not only growing in certain types of ways that are going to build fellowship, but it also includes being sanctified from the types of things in our lives that get in the way of true koinonia fellowship as well. When we think about the importance of fellowship, the gold standard for this is God Himself. Sometimes Christians will wonder, perhaps, and I've had that in certain classes where I've taught catechism or so forth, and you get to this section on the Trinity, or you're working with people one-on-one who are being mentored for profession of faith or something like that, and they will wonder about this business of the Trinity and its practical meaningfulness. And I always say to them, one of the things that is so practically meaningful that comes out of our doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, is because this was the first community. This was the first deep, deep fellowship. And now God has brought us into His family. We are called to reflect God in all aspects and to reflect God in this as well, in the fellowship together. God is the model. If you can just think about what that relationship must be, the kind of level of devotion there, of committedness to one another as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Trinity, that is our pattern as the church. And we are called to growingly build connections and community in fellowship, in koinonia with one another in the church. That is what God is after. Jesus alluded to this in one of his teachings in John, for instance, John 15. And I want to just read a few words from John 15, beginning at verse 12, where he was talking to his disciples, and he said, "My command to you is this: love each other as I have loved you." Put the pause button on that. That's koinonia. That's a level of fellowship that is way, way beyond superficial. Love each other as I have loved you. That's powerful. Beginning at verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love one another." When we love one another like that, at that level, when that kind of fellowship under the leading of the Holy Spirit is enabled in our personal lives, and we finally reach beyond ourselves and see that, no, we are not the center here, but God is, and we are called to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, when we understand that that is essentially what discipleship is about at its core, to have that level of fellowship, then the Holy Spirit will, I think, do incredible things among us. Jesus said, "They will know that you are my disciples if you have that kind of love that binds you together in that sort of fashion. Now, there are a lot of things that we could talk about tonight for some time that get in the way of that deep koinonia fellowship in the church. There is this business of individualism that has shot through our North American culture. One piece of writing that I read said that was basically, has been for several centuries, sort of the core of how so many operate in our nation. Everybody wants to be an individual. Now, there's certain positive things to that, but there are a lot of negative things to that too, because when that kind of stuff in a bad way begins to influence us culturally and shape us, then that is something that really isn't going to move us in the direction, it seems to me, of living out Acts 2 under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Individualism, and individualism can often lead to isolation as well, where people really don't get to know one another, often don't get to know their neighbors very well. It takes some real intentionality to get beyond that. It takes real intentionality to get beyond that in a church as well. And then there's also consumerism. That has influenced our culture deeply. It has the potential to influence us deeply as followers of Christ, because then things begin to replace that deep longing for something more, for that love, for that fellowship that we were created for by God, because we were made in the image of God to reflect God. And if somehow we don't discover that, then we begin to fill that need with all kinds of other stuff. So how can we deal with this kind of thing in our lives? I'd like to make three suggestions before we close. The first one is that I think it's important for us here at West End and in every church to really keep asking ourselves, what is the main goal of what the church is about? What is that? And we need to reflect on that together. Is it about loving God and loving our neighbor? Or isn't it? And if it is, we do well to ask ourselves, how are we doing at that? Where is the level of our fellowship, if truth be told, in this church right now? In our own lives, personally, right now? I can't answer that for you, but I can only ask the question. The second thing is we need to keep looking hard, I think, at the present development of small groups in this church. We have a team right now that is doing that. And we're just getting started. Only have had a couple of meetings. We're going to meet this Wednesday again. And I encourage your prayers for that. We don't know exactly how that's going to sort of find its shape, and the kind of direction that is going to be given out of that team in terms of suggestions for ways to go. But the things that we have read together so far, where that sort of thing becomes really important in the life of a church, because relationships are really important in the life of a church, and because we want to go we really want to go deeper than superficial fellowship in the church. Those churches have experienced some wonderful, wonderful koinonia in them. And so I think that's something that we want to look at. Dr. M. Scott Peck reflects on what he knows, for instance, about recovery groups. And maybe there are people in this church who have been in recovery groups. I've certainly known people who have been in recovery groups. But he calls them one of the most effective places of community today. You know why? Because when you come into those places, you've been through something that has stripped you of all of the veneer, and you come in as yourself, and you don't have anything to hide anymore. You are who you are. And there needs to be a place, surely, in the church, where we have people like that, where we can bear our souls to, who will accept us and love us for who we are, warts and all, sins and all, and encourage us in the way of Christ together, who will go with us and walk with us into that deeper kind of fellowship that the Bible calls in Acts 2, koinonia. And finally, we will do well to ask ourselves how high a value relationship really has in our lives. It seems to me that if this kind of fellowship is really important in one's life, then there will be eventually, led by the Holy Spirit, a willingness to let go, perhaps, to say no to some things that we need to say no to in order to say yes to those deeper relationships and whatever it takes to build them. I don't know how that all is going to shake out here at West End Church, but I do hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will be so actively present here in the life of this church that as a community of faith, you'll be willing to take a look at those things, to put that kind of value very highly on relationships together that are really deep and growing and important. Because I can assure you that when people are drawn into this place, into this fellowship, into this community, there are many of them in our world today who will be looking for a place to find that level of fellowship and community. They aren't going to be looking, this may be initially sort of on a superficial level, but that's not where they're going to want to stay. They're going to want to find a place that truly reflects what the early church reflected as well. So are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way with us? Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to continually shape us more and more into becoming what I would call an Acts 2:42 church, to be people who are truly, deeply devoted to the important things that really build us deeply as we seek to follow Christ together? Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would do that here at West End more and more. Help us to be open, Holy Spirit, to Your leading. Help us to be willing to change what needs to be changed, first of all, in us. If there's anything, Lord, in us that is somehow holding us back from growing in the kind of depth of fellowship with one another that Your Word speaks to us about tonight, we ask You to help us with that. Help us to truly reflect the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, to grow in what that means in our lives. So we invite You once again, Holy Spirit, to do Your work among us, even as You have already been very much at work doing in this church. In Jesus' name. Amen.